Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Today is Wednesday, March 12, 2025. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Into Action. We're on page 84. We're at the top of that page. What we're reading today begins with, no matter how far down the scale, through two sentences in ending in that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We're going to comment on these two sentences only. Today's readers are Team Wednesday, Charlotte W. with the 12 Steps, Karen W. with the 12 Traditions. Our reader of the text today is Lynn S., closing reader Jessica C., backup reader Vanessa C. Our newcomer greeter is Bonnie B., and second hour moderator is Colleen M. Well, here's the reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is the following, 22,239. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 22,240. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively, and there are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of OA to those who still suffer. Here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Charlotte W. to read the 12 steps. Go right ahead, Charlotte.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service.
Thanks, Charla. I'll now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Jen. This is Karen W. from Texas. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press *1 to unmute your phone. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone again in order to have a quiet meeting. We ask that everyone's phone be muted if you're not speaking. So today we resume our study of the chapter, it's Into Action. It's in the Big Book on page 84, and we're beginning at the top of the page reading 2 sentences. I'll now ask our dear friend S to begin reading.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And I was just looking back at the few sentences before, and what a marvelous, marvelous paragraph and the way it was written, and talking about the amazement we're going to feel. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Imagine, like, all this wonderful stuff. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Amazing. Serenity. Peace. And then it kind of talks about not character defects, but where we've been, like no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And, you know, it always strikes me in the Big Book, the literal and figurative stuff that can relate to OA, and the paradox, like the differences. The kind of no far how down the scale we have gone, well, no far how up the scale we have gone. Lynn, 140 pounds overweight, and the dealing with that over 20 years of losing and gaining and losing and gaining. But I'll see how my experience of doing that can benefit others. And that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. That plagued me my whole life. Uselessness. And with that uselessness was coupled with self-pity. They were chained together like Marley's ghost, with these uselessness and self-pity hanging off me, surrounding me. And there was never any way out. There was no more pulling myself up by the bootstraps. I was completely useless, powerless, self-pity, misery. And just thinking how we get lifted up out of that by the power of God that we connect to through these 12 steps. It's an amazing, amazing process. Who knew that that experience of 16 years of gaining and losing 140 pounds, not that experience so much, but the coming out of it, the understanding, the only way that one of us can help another is by having that experience and coming out the other side. And we come out through the power of God. I don't feel useless anymore. And I don't feel surrounded by a morass of self-pity. My spirit isn't annihilated. This is all the power of God working in my life. My heart's been rewired. My mind has been rewired. I am so grateful to this program and so grateful to this meeting where we get to share our experience, strength with others in the hopes that they may help someone else. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Lynn, and perfect timing. And we do value everybody who's here today. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. We just ask that you share the air with others. There's about, 300 to 400 people on the line in the morning. So new voices are welcome also. Today I'm going to take a list of names. If you'll give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, then we can hear you pitch. Go right ahead.
Harlan G.
Felicia D. in Rhode Island.
Rick J.
Yeah. Janet B.
Harlan. Felicia. Rick.
Tony B.
Janet. Tony. Did I miss anybody? I got Harlan, Felicia, Rick, Janet, Tony. Let's start with that group. Awesome. Harlan, go right ahead. You'll be followed by Felicia. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Jen, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I watched the world pass me by. I was 335 pounds as a senior in high school. I graduated college over 600 pounds. I got to be over 700 pounds. So I love, like as Lynn mentioned, I love the fact that we have a double entendre here. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Dr. Silkworth tells us in the doctor's opinion of the Big Book that in order for the message to be carried, it must have depth and weight. What does that mean? It means that we must speak the language of the heart, and that means that we have experienced things as people in the disease that no one else will have experienced during their lifetime. We understand the pain, the isolation, the self-loathing. We understand the implications of what it means when we say, I am a compulsive overeater. In my case, I went on my first date with a girl. I was 35 years old. I lost decades to this disease. I was emasculated physically and emotionally by an illness that I did not understand, nor did I know I had. On page 124 of the Big Book of AA, in the chapter The Family Afterward, it says, cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. It never occurred to me at any level that the hell, the pain, the death wish that I was going through would be of benefit to other people. And yet every single day of my life, I use the fact that I know what it's like to have that severe edema in my lower legs. I know what it's like not to be able to stand or sit comfortably. I know what it's like not to be able to walk comfortably. I know what it's like not to have a garment that fits. I know what it's like to hate the image you see in the mirror. I know what it's like to be 700 pounds. I also know what it's like to lose 500 pounds, and I can now walk 3 miles a day, 6 days a week, and that my weight is normal, and my cardiologist is thrilled. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. It doesn't disappear forever. I have to keep working at it and keep working at it. But in the eyes of people that I work with that are severely overweight, when I see their eyes sparkle because I can identify things that they are going through that no one else knows, it helps God save lives through my words, through my experiences. That is a feeling. That is an experience I would not want to miss. So I use that pain as a currency of helping others, and in so doing, it saves my life from going back to that hell, because this time I will die. I'm too old to withstand that kind of onslaught of the illness again. But no matter how far down the scale I have gone, I can see how my experience can benefit others. Thanks for your service, Jen, and with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for your experience, strength, and hope today, Harlan G. from Arizona. Up next we have, is it Felicia B.? And Felicia, where are you calling from?
Felicia D. is in Door and from Rhode Island.
Thank you so much. Go right
Thank
ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for the previous shares. For me, when I look at this, I think about something that Harlan just said, and I know for me that when I was 110 pounds heavier, I didn't actually feel like a woman. I don't think I felt even human, but it was so demoralizing to do laundry and to have bigger clothes than my husband and just feel like I just was just so not worthy, and not understanding that my worth was intrinsic and a gift from God and not about what size that I was in. I certainly didn't understand that walking and having my thighs bleed because of the chafing was something that would help me in any way have compassion and empathy and be able to help another person to identify in. But that is true. I didn't understand that in my past, having multiple restraining orders and being in an abusive relationship and having to learn that I was worthy of better was something that would help me to be able to help others and be of use to God, that he could utilize that. Certainly didn't understand that. And I didn't understand that years and decades of relapse would somehow help me to be able to reach people that someone who has come in right away may not connect with. But that has been my story, and there's been plenty of people that I've been able to do that with. So I can be grateful for everything that's happened. I got stuck last week, and I had an interview, and after the interview, I overthought, and I just could not seem to get out of my own way, and I was filled with self-pity, and I felt pretty useless. And I did 10 steps, and I talked to my sponsor, and I just really struggled, and she pointed out that I can still be very much caught up in my feelings, and it's not about my feelings. I have to feel them so that I can release them, but I don't need to swim in them. And I'm so grateful that the program gives me the opportunity to take these things to God, to do an inventory, to pray, to ask for relief, to reach out to others and do service and get out of myself. There's a solution to anything that happens. And I'm still waiting to hear if I get the job. And today I feel so much peace that I don't know and it doesn't matter. And I realized in the shower this morning, like, that's where the progress comes in. Like, it's not that I won't ever get stuck in emotions, but that I get stuck less. I come out of it quicker, and I learn something in the experience. And I draw closer to God in a way that I wouldn't if everything was just going super well. So I don't have to live in self-pity. I don't have to live in self-condemnation today. And that's just so miraculous. For a long time here, I thought people would say it's not about the food. And in my head, I'd be like, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't weigh 280 pounds and you're not in and all the time. But today, having worked through the steps and just doing
Can
it
please?
And being focused on the day, I have another way of life, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today, Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Up next, we have Rick J, followed by Janet B. Good morning to you, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Jan, and thank you so much for your service, and thanks all of you for being on the line here. I'm looking at this these sentences, and one thing that's striking me is, you know, we all have, you know, we all have a past before we found recovery, and, you know, that that experience, our experience, benefits others because we're sharing our own and we're being relatable, and they can identify and feel connected, and it's about that connection. The real gift of this is that no matter how far down the scale we have gone in recovery, and whatever experiences that we're going through can still help others as we go through life. You know, I love that my experience can benefit others now. And the benefit is that connection, that relatability. And by doing that, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappears. And I get out of my head. I'm struggling this morning. Yesterday, my son called me at when I was checking out at Costco to say that my daughter, you know, was vomiting and gasping, and, you know, she's got a history of anorexia, as a lot of you know. And so I told him I was on my way. I was home in 15 minutes, and when I pulled into the driveway, there were two fire trucks, an ambulance, and a police car. And I went flying upstairs. I couldn't get into the bathroom. There were all these, you know, EMS people in there, and she had overdosed significantly, and she's in the ER right now, and I'm on my way to relieve my wife to get to see her. And you know, she's in God's hands. She's my daughter, but she's God's child, you know, and I get to show up and to be her father and to be a husband. And you know, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity is not there. I'm focused on her well-being, and but also her struggle and that feeling I have for her. And anybody that's going through anything like that, I have that experience for them. You know, it's like we can hold this beautiful light. Our darkest past can shine our brightest light for someone else at any time. When we were struggling in addiction and when we're struggling in recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, brother. Here with you. May God's will be done in her life and yours too. All right, that's Rick J. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Janet B., followed by Tony B. Hey, Janet.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. And for Rick, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. That must be horrible. So prayers for you, friend. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Well, I don't know if y'all are anything like me, that feeling of uselessness. When I was binging, it used to be, why am I here, God? What's my purpose? I have no purpose. What's my purpose? And I didn't have a purpose. And this book really gives me a purpose. I mean, all through it. But one I noticed today is I'm supposed to regard myself, this is on page 49, as an intelligent agent, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. Well, that means God has a purpose for me. I'm supposed to be his agent. So, you know, I have a job and I'm an agent for my boss. That means he has stuff for me to do and I do it. And as my employer, he gives me the tools I need to do it. So if I'm supposed to be God's agent, God's going to give me the tools that I need in order to do that work, which means he's going to remove my compulsive eating. He's going to remove my food obsession because I can't be of any use to him if I'm still binging. Well, how does that work? I have to basically decide I'm going to be his agent, right? He is the principal, we are the agent. He is the father, we are his children. I surrender my entire life to him, and then he gives me the tools I need so that I can serve him. And then what am I supposed to do as his agent? It says that I'm a spearhead of his ever-advancing creation. Well, wait a second. I thought he created the world in 6 days and then he rested. But they're saying no. He's still creating. What's he creating? I believe, right, that he's recreating lives. He's recreating us. That my job is to surrender my life to him so that he can remove my food obsession, give me a change of heart so that I have compassion and empathy for other people, and then I can help join his work in recreating lives and showing people how to work these 12 beautiful steps so that the food obsession is removed. What a beautiful promise this is, that uselessness disappears. We have a great sense of purpose serving our loving God as an agent of his ever-advancing creation. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Tony B. Tony, before you share, give me just a moment to let folks know who just joined us where we're at. We're in the chapter Into Action in the Big Book on page 84. We're reading two sentences today and commenting on those two sentences only. No matter how far down the scale, and it ends in self-pity will disappear. So, Tony B., you're up next. Tell our audience where you're calling from today, please.
Hi, Jen. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And thank you, Lynn, for getting us started and all the shares I've heard so far. Uselessness stood out to me as well. And now it's just amazing.
Tony, we seem to have lost you. Press star one. Tony, are you there? Oh, shoot. Okay, so maybe her call got dropped. So what I'm going to do is I'll put her back in the lineup when she gets back on. In the meantime, we value everyone's experience. We know that you're all here to share your experience, strength, and hope. We ask you to limit your share to every third day. Please share the air, and we'd love to hear new voices on the line as well. If you would like to share on what was read today, those two sentences, oh, Tony, are you back?
I'm here. Sorry. Did you lose me?
No, it's okay. I was just waiting for you. We're going to take a list of more names, but you go ahead and finish your share, and then I'll take a list of names. Go right ahead, friend.
Okay. I found, that I had agency and choice and a new director. And how can I feel useless now, knowing that, and continuing to do the things I need to do, to trust in him, to talk honestly to my fellows, to help others, and have purpose now, as has been shared, to fit myself to be of maximum usefulness to God and those around me. And my experience now can benefit others. It's not just before and in the food, but now, I can be beneficial to others because I am going through things in my life, difficult ones, positive ones. And if I capitalize them and keep trusting God and keep telling my fellows what's really going on for me in 10th steps, in outreach, I can move through things and I can show others that they can move through them too. So thank you for letting me share. I send love to you all and wish you a beautiful day. Thank you.
Oh, same to you, Tony B. in Scotland. Thanks for calling in this morning and sharing with us. All right. As stated, page 84, beginning at the top of the page, two sentences. No matter how far down the scale, till self-pity will disappear. If you would like to share on those two sentences this morning, please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name. Go right ahead.
Lisa B.
Loretta A.
Loretta.
Lynis W.
Jessica.
Vasa O.
Jessica C. And was it Lynis?
Yes.
Vasa. Anyone else?
Margo.
Toby K. And Toby K. All right, let's stop there. We have time for more. We'll take some more names. I'll tell you who I heard: Lisa B, Loretta H, Jessica C, Lennis W, Vasa O, Margo, and Toby K. If you'll tell us what state you're calling from, that helps people identify in and help give you a call off the member list. We'll start with Lisa B. It's L-E-E-S-A. Is that right, Lisa?
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. It's Lisa B, and it's just with one E. So it's L-E-S-A. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. I really am drawn to how it says, you know, see and feeling. So I'm seeing how my experience can benefit others. And I've always been told that by sponsors when I'm suffering through something that this will be something that I am going to be able to share one day with another and be helpful. And in the moment when I'm suffering, that's not always so comforting. But getting to the other side and in some of these things, I do see, yes, wow, you know, it's amazing how my higher power will bring people into my life and they are suffering with something so similar to what I've gone through. And I'm able to share. I'm able to share. And as a recovered compulsive overeater, it's vital that I be able to share my experience, strength, and hope, and whether it's helping someone or not, because I need to hear. I need to hear the miracles and how they've worked, how my higher power has come through. And, you know, it says that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Well, it doesn't stay gone. I mean, that's my experience. It does come back. But I know what works, living in the tools, and not the tools, the 12 steps, and the spiritual awakening, and going back through the steps and having a new experience has been helpful for me. But the turnaround for me is always to get out of myself. Who can I reach out to? Who can I share my experience, strength, and hope? Who can I help and not look for something in return? Who can I pray for? Who can I just make a difference, you know, either anonymously or with, you know, with them knowing that I'm doing it with them? But it's always about getting out of myself, because self is where my problem is. Self is always going to be a dead end place for me. But I have to experience this program. I have to have the experience of this happening within me so I can give it away, because it's not there until I go through and have the transformation. And it's really God is the superstar, the miracle worker. So with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa B., L-E-S-A. B from South Carolina. Up next, we have my friend Loretta H. We're in the Carolinas today, aren't we, Loretta?
Hi, Jen. Good morning, my gem. This is Loretta H., and thank you all, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Welcome, welcome to the newcomer. And love the shares. I am recovered for today. And every morning, I read On Awakening, and we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking to be delivered from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, you know, so that self-pity has disappeared. And no matter how I'm looking at, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, because I love going down that scale. The thinner I was, the better I felt. But there is a you know, I do I am a real compulsive overeater, but I covet to this day the anorexia. Not, and I don't use it. I don't at all go there, but it's still in my mind, and I do want to say a prayer for Rick, because it is very, very difficult unless I have this program that I would suffer from it to this day. no matter how far down the scale I've gone. And that's why that spiritual part of this needs much, much, much addressing. Because I was in program in the 80s and I actually got so low that my company did an intervention on me. This disease has brought me very, very, very low. Not only I was raped because I went out and ran at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had 2 car accidents. I identified more. I'm duly addicted, but I identified more in this book with my eating disorder than I ever did in my other 12-step program. So I know that this works, but I need to give it away to keep it. I need to surrender to win. I need to struggle to get well, and I need to die to live. But I don't need to die it, because today I have a food plan that is given to me by a nutritionist that is healing and healthy. And I am not on a diet, because that is what killed me the first time, because I just had a food plan. And that doesn't work. You have to do the work. You have to work this as if your hair is on fire, and it has to be carried to another person every single day, because that's how I get to get out of my dark past. And with that, I pass. Thank you all for saving my life. And please, the newcomer, please call in this morning. We need you as much as we need everybody. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Jessica C. Jessica, good morning. Where are you calling from today?
Hey, Jen, good morning. Jessica C., recovered in Ontario, Canada. Just thank you, everyone, for the honest shares this morning. I think what this part of the big book is saying is that no matter how severe my disease of compulsive eating got, or how much harm I caused, my experience in the disease and my recovery can be helpful. And I actually think that the farther down the scale someone has gone in their disease, the more powerful and impactful it is when they do recover. And I really appreciate when people are really candid about the depths that their disease took them to. And for me, my disease did take me to some really extreme places. And I do share these, these extreme things that I did, like getting addicted to amphetamines, which were prescribed to me, but I abused them to control my compulsive eating. And when I was in, an all weekend binge, I would have so much waste from all the wrappers, the food wrappers, that I would run out of places to put the waste, and I would end up putting the waste in my bathtub or in the trunk of my car. I share these things because I hope that it shows others what can happen when we work these steps and enable God to change us, because I haven't done any of those things in 4 years or wanted to. I'm just also aware that these two sentences, they follow steps 5 through 9, and they could also refer to going far down the scale in terms of the harms that we've done to others. And when I take a fifth step from a sponsee, I do share some of the harms that I did to others. I missed a family funeral when I was deep into the food. I even stole food from a food bank donation bin. I share these things with others so that they don't feel ashamed when they're sharing their inventory with me, and they know that they're in a place where they're being welcomed and accepted. For me as well, like, all of these experiences helped me to become more useful. And this feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappearing, that is a miracle for me. I definitely was real. I can still get into self-pity, but that has really changed. A lot of it's been removed. And yesterday I had an experience where someone asked me to sponsor them. And, my first response is often to hold back, be afraid of, of being overwhelmed or want to hoard my time, but I really felt led to say yes to this person. And it's just amazing how I experience joy through that. You know, my first reaction is to always to conserve my energy, make sure that I get enough. But when I do follow God's direction and I give to others, there is that new freedom and new happiness on the other side. And we get the chance to be useful now. Yeah, so I think that's all I have to share. I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Up next, we have Lennis W. Lennis, where are you calling from today, please? Lennis, press star one. All right, well, we'll circle back to Lennis. Maybe she can't get through. Next up, we have Vasa O. Vasa, are you ready?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. Thank you, Jen, for your service and everybody's service this morning. Wonderful shares. And the promises. I remember when I heard the promises in my first meeting, I'm saying I will never reach there. That would be impossible for me to be there. And that's what kept me coming back. And the program saved my life, you know. I did not understand that I had a disease. Tried to control it for 25 years of my life. And I did everything what I've heard people say here. And nothing worked till I came and I was ready to surrender to a power greater than myself, the program, the 12 steps tools, whatever it is, because I did not want to die. And I was dying gradually without even knowing, physically, you know, stuffing myself with the food. And yes, I did use some bulimia to myself. And there was no more hope left out there, nothing left out there. Coming to the program gave me hope. And I remember saying, if these people recovered, and I will too. And I just keep coming, and I keep on doing the same thing over and over, and it's working for me. But the first promise I got, I became master from the first night I came to my OA meeting, because the fear. I was terrified. If I kept on doing what I was doing, I was just going to die. And for me, I had to lose like maybe 45 pounds. I'm only 5'1", you know. And when I hear people, they had to lose 150, 200, 300 pounds. I'm so, oh, my God, you know. It is by the grace of God, you know, that God is working through them and God is working through me. And the promises, that was my first promise, and there was nothing more that I wanted than that, just to lose the weight. And then gradually the promises were coming in other areas of my life by working the 12 steps and going to a sponsor, working the tools, and how could I help others? I could not help anybody. I was useless with food, but I remember feeling very useful in other areas. Thank you, God. I had children I had to take care of. I had house to take care of. So I was very, you know, useful in other areas. But when it came to the food, I was dying. And my prayers are with Rick. We have a daughter. We don't know. Gradually, she's cut us off from her life and all the loved ones. So I believe she is struggling, but she won't let us come to her. And I pray, you know, like people are talking about intervention. How can I make an intervention to somebody if they have their door locked or, you know, has a big, huge dog there, you know, when they cut you off from their lives and blaming us for their problems, like I did. I did a lot of blaming.
Time,
but
please.
There's also, thank you very much. So I'm just so grateful. I keep on going no matter what goes in my life. I keep the food down and just live life the way it's laid out. And it's a good life. Thanks. And I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. from Florida. Up next, we have Lennis W. Lennis, are you still there? Would you like to share this morning? Press star one. All right, then we will proceed with Margo. Margo, give me the first initial of your last name, please, and where you're calling from today. Welcome.
Hi, this is Margo G. from Maine, and I just want to say how much I love these meetings, and it reminds me so much what people have shared about one of the first meetings I ever went to. People said you never have to be alone again, and that, I think, was my biggest fear in my life, was being alone, and partly because I was afraid to reach out for help. And I'm in a situation now where my dad passed away on the 17th of February, and my mom's 89 and my mother-in-law's 94, and we just have a lot of responsibility, my husband and I, with older people. And I found myself yesterday in a funk, and I was feeling self-pity, which is, that doesn't happen to be the thing I feel a lot. So I was like, whoa, I don't like this feeling at all. And thank God, you know, this morning I felt like God, you know, my higher power was like, what about this? What about that? And I feel like I'm so grateful that the program teaches me to reach out no matter what, like reach out. And I reached out to one of my husband's family members, and I think she's going to be able to be of support. And that's like, I just love that I don't have to do this alone. Like, I think that I'm just so grateful. And my addiction, you know, I have many, I've had many, but they often just put me in a place of isolation, and that terminal uniqueness, which is so isolating. Anyway, thanks so much for letting me share. And I love, somebody said something that was so sweet and I wrote it down. I'm always writing stuff down because you guys say such great things. Like, they could be t-shirts or bumper stickers, but someone said something like that, God is a superstar miracle worker. And that's, I like see God in a big t-shirt with a star on it because that's how I feel this morning, that I totally feel like loved beyond, I didn't know how much help I needed because I was getting in a funk, and God like came in and swooped up and said, ask for help. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margo. Thanks for that visual today with the t-shirt. Margo G. from Maine. Up next, we have Toby K. Toby, good morning. Where are you calling from? Toby K., press star one, please. I know I heard Toby. Toby, are you still there? Do you want to share? Press star one.
Can you hear me?
There you are. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Where
I thought I was
from, Toby?
Unmuted. I'm calling from Florida, but I am from New York on the list.
Okay, go right ahead.
Thank you. So, I know these are the part of the promises, and it's so impressive. But last night, I managed to crawl in to a self-pity moment where when my husband goes to play cards a few times a week, a few evenings, and I just feel so abandoned. I'm not a child. I did feel abandoned when I was a child because my parents worked very long hours in their store, a grocery store, and they would leave me alone, me and my TV, and which my mother said was my friend. But occasionally I would see a mouse where I lived. It was an apartment in Brooklyn, and I was scared. I was scared. And now I'm a grown-up. Do I need a babysitter? But I just, again, it's like this feeling of abandonment and self-pity just swoops me up. And luckily, I want to get that way. I like it. I enjoy it, which is the sick part of the disease, of my disease. And many times I want to blame it on my parents. Well, look what they did. And also they were Holocaust survivors, and they had to work to get ahead in life and make a life for me and then my brother. And so it feels good to see my parents were victims. I'm a victim. And I just like, I don't know, rot in that mud pile. Just I get sucked in it. And thank God last night I thought of calling a meeting that I heard about. And I didn't go there, but I know once at a, I was doing some housework, and I just get so sucked in. You're a slob. You don't get to do things. What's wrong with you? That might be my mother's voice, although I exaggerate it. And my husband's going to this lecture, and he said, why don't you come? And I go, no, I can't. I can't do it, even though I was invited to go out. But I couldn't do it because I was so sucked into this madness of low feelings. So I see I'm not in the steps, and I'm too lazy for that. Unfortunately, I'm really trying to get out of it. Another sucked in laziness. And I need to, thank you. And I just need to get out of myself and be of service to God. And I see that's the way of the steps. And thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Toby Kay. She's on the member list in New York. All right, we have time for about 2 2-minute shares. Is there anyone out there that has a burning desire? Press star one.
Alexis F.
Alexis.
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D. Go ahead, Alexis.
This is easier to share my story. I've been locked up behind mental institutions 30 times, and one time I was locked up because I was committed to a mental institution. Let me tell you, the food there is uneatable. Maybe fish and scrambled eggs for breakfast mixed in, red fish that you don't know what it is. It's a food program. That's why I'm telling you this. You're behind closed doors, locked. You can't get out of the ward. In the bathrooms, there's waste floating on the toilet. And, you know, when I was young, I could, stand on my feet and squat down. I can't do that anymore. I'm 76 years old. I'm facing that again. My abstinence is good. It's a way to measure it. It's an achievement and it helps me. I don't want to go backwards. I've been getting very emotional. I have a hard time trusting. I accused my daughter last night of calling her stepmother and telling her that I needed help. And
time, please. Alexis, do you want to tell us where you're calling from today so we can find you on the member list?
Alexis F., New Jersey.
All right.
Thank you.
Folks can reach out to you. Yeah, thanks for sharing today. We're all here with you. Glad you joined the meeting, Alexis. Up next,
thank
I have Elizabeth D. You're welcome.
Hey, everyone. I'm Elizabeth D. from Maine. And thank you for your service and for all of these heartfelt testaments to God's power. Yeah, when I came into program, the feeling of uselessness was just overpowering. The biggest aspect of my life I felt useless in was my being a mom, and it was just breaking my heart. I remember a failed diet. I had given my entire being to getting skinny for this trip, and I couldn't do it. And I was just standing in the living room, and everything deflated out of me. And I realized there was just no light in our house. And if I continued down this path, there wasn't going to be any for my daughter. And she was going to be kind of given that same isolated life that I had led. And I was just mired in self-pity. It was everybody else's fault. It was my daughter's dad's fault. It was my parents' fault. I was so miserable. I had this amazing job, and I was just always fantasizing about how to get out of it. I wasn't present in anything. I wasn't grateful for anything. And I had absolutely no purpose in life. And program has given me absolutely everything that I have to pass on to my daughter, any wisdom, any ways of dealing with the world or difficulties or trials come from program. So I can be an example for her. I can be an example for people in the program of God's power, what she can do. And because this is not me, on my will, I have multiple addictions. I'm isolated. I have
fine place.
All I think about is my weight. And I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth D. from Maine. We do have to end this morning. We do thank you to everyone who shared today. We also thank you if you are here on the line just listening with us. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. If you didn't get a chance to share, it's another great opportunity. Here, grab your pen and your paper and write the share ID down for today. Wednesday, March 12, 2025, at the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 22,246. That's 22246. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jessica C., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure. Jessica C., a recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.